My college Bible study leader had the gift of hospitality. Each week we would gather at her house to study scripture, to share our struggles, to pray for one another, and laugh until our stomachs hurt. Whenever we would show up to her house, Angela would have everything prepared for us. A beautiful collection of hot tea bags and flavored hot cocos set neatly next to her colorful and funky teapot. Bowls of freshly popped popcorn sat in heaping golden mounds around her living room, and plates of warm chocolate chip cookies greeted us as we sank into her oversized leather couches. The lighting was always just right, never too bright, and always soothing, and she always had the best music playing. And not loud enough to be a bother, but just loud enough that it provided the perfect ambiance. As college students living in cramped dorms and dingy apartments, we craved the weekly gatherings at Angela's home. It felt so warm and cozy, and like she had spent hours preparing for us. Being welcomed into her home gave us a sense of life and of excitement and hope. Hope that one day we too might live in a comfortable home and not share a bathroom with 100 other women. One Wednesday evening, as Bible study was winding down, one of the women in our group asked Angela about her knack for hospitality. She wondered how Angela made it seem so effortless to provide the perfect place, the perfect home, the perfect treats, perfect lighting and music. Of course, we were all eager to hear Angela answer the question and glean any useful tips we could from her. So we leaned in with anticipation to hear the wisdom she might share. I'll never forget the look on Angela's face as we waited expectantly. It was one of utter amusement as she smiled and laughed. "Listen, ladies," she told us, "true hospitality is not about having the perfect home or providing the best cookies or having the best music. Don't you see the dust everywhere and the crumbs on the floor? Don't you see the clutter all over my countertops and the dog hair on the chair? None of this is perfect. But hospitality really isn't about those things anyway. True hospitality is about making another person feel absolutely comfortable in who God has created them to be while they are in your presence." Well, we were all stunned by this revelation. None of us had ever thought about hospitality in this way. But as our conversation continued that night, we began to see that the reason we loved coming to Angela's was not because of the cookies, popcorn, or comfy couches. The reason we loved being at her house was because she made us feel at home in ourselves. There were no questions we couldn't ask, no topics we couldn't discuss, no part of ourselves that was off limits. We struggled together and laughed together and cried together, and we learned about God, ourselves, and each other. The cookies and popcorn were just the proverbial icing on the cake. Through her words and actions, Angela showed us what it looks like to live a life anchored in hope and extending hospitality to others. You see, Angela was a woman of deep faith, and she was anchored in the hope of God's promises. And she was certain that God had called her to share God's love with college-aged women, helping us to understand God's promises for ourselves. Hope was her anchor and her very foundation. She had faced many storms in her life, and she knew we would inevitably face storms too. And so she wanted to share her hope so that we might be anchored for our lives ahead. And she shared that hope most clearly through her acts of hospitality toward us, through the kindness and generosity she showed us, in the care she took to really listen to us, and not to judge, but to offer hope in love. She made us feel completely at home in her presence. And from that day on, we were clear that because she was anchored in hope, her acts of hospitality were not just a matter of simple manners or making guests feel welcome. Hospitality was making others feel comfortable in who God had created them to be, even when the world is raging and life is tough. She taught us that if hope is the anchor, Hospitality is the sail that allows us to adjust to the changing winds. Angela invited us to see that when we're grounded in God, hope is the thing that will provide us motivation and the ability to live out a Christian life, even in the face of trouble. And to me, that's what hospitality is really all about, living the Christian life even in the face of trouble, making others feel welcome and at home in our presence, even when life is careening out of control. Living the Christian life is about all those things that Paul wrote about in Romans. It's about letting our love be genuine and holding fast to what is good. It's about loving one another and showing affection and honor. It's about serving God and rejoicing in hope and being patient in suffering. It's about living in harmony with one another and being humble. It's about living in peace with all. And none of these tasks are easy, for the world we live in is decidedly inhospitable, and it's surely not anchored in hope. And living the Christian life is not as simple as baking cookies and providing hot chocolate. It's about risking our well-being and comfort on behalf of another. Because we are anchored in the hope of Christ, and we know that God's promises are sure, we are able to extend ourselves past the points of comfort. As I reflect on hope and hospitality on this Gifts of Women Sunday, I know that there are millions of women like Angela who have lived out these traits and shown the immense love of God, and likewise how to share Christ's love with others by living lives of Christian hospitality. And throughout history, women have traditionally been the ones tasked with the work of hospitality. But there have been countless women who have done this traditional work while simultaneously breaking down barriers and showing radical hospitality in non-traditional ways. I recently purchased a book for Noah and Clara called Women Who Dared, 52 Stories of Fearless Daredevils, Adventurers, and Rebels. So I've been reading this book to them and enjoying the stories I'm reading. And there's one that I'd like to share with you this morning. Born in 1865, Susan LaFleche Picot was raised as part of the Omaha Nation of Nebraska during a time when the Plains Indians were rapidly changing. Her father was chief of the Omaha tribe, and her mother was the daughter of the first army physician in Nebraska. Her parents wanted their children to learn to live in both worlds, so they sent them to an English-speaking school. Straddling two cultures wasn't easy, and one incident demonstrated the deep divide between the two cultures. One day, an Omaha woman became ill, and the local white doctor was sent for, but he refused to come. Susan watched the woman die that day, and it had such a powerful impact on her that she dedicated her life to improving the health of her people. When she was 14, she attended the Elizabeth Institute of Young Ladies and later the Hampton Institute in Virginia, which once again placed her in a tug of war between her lives and beliefs and her old traditions and heritage. But her success as a student gave her the confidence and courage to do something bold, apply to medical school. She was accepted by the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania. She graduated and returned home as the first Native American physician in the country. But that's when her hard work really began. Susan never turned down a patient, Native American or white. She had over 1,200 patients spread out over 450 square miles. That meant making house calls on horseback in all types of weather. Frequently, the ride was so rough that she arrived only to find a saddlebag full of broken thermometers and bottles. She endured snowstorms, blazing heat, and everything in between. But her patients always came before her own comfort or safety. Not only did Susan tend to the sick, she also taught the importance of proper hygiene and preventative care. She witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of alcoholism, and fought tirelessly to combat it by educating people about addiction. Despite everything, she was paid only $500 a year, while male doctors at that time made at least 10 times more. Susan married, had children, and still continued to work as a doctor. Finally, in 1913, 2 years before her death, the Susan LaFleche Picotte Memorial Hospital was built in Walt Hill, Nebraska, honoring this woman who devoted her life and to healing wounds in both bodies and in attitudes. Susan's story is amazing because she so clearly embodies the gifts of hope and hospitality and their connection to one another. She was grounded, and she knew that there was hope for the people of Nebraska, even if they were on the margins, shoved to the side, and declared as hopeless. And she brought that hope with her each time she treated a patient, passing on a little bit of that hope to them, reminding them that they were not alone. She showed radical hospitality by caring for others so that they felt loved and safe, even when the storms of life were raging, and even when their own identities were called into question. Through her life, we see what it means to live a life grounded in hope and reaching out towards others. Friends, I'm sure you each have powerful stories of women who have touched your life and who have showed you what it means to be grounded in hope and to reach out in hospitality. And so I invite you today to give thanks for those women, for the teachers and the mothers, the grandmothers and aunts and sisters, the friends, the pastors, the mentors, the professors, the doctors, anyone who has taught you through their words and actions how to live a vibrant life of faith. And as you give thanks for them, may you also reflect on the ways that you might take the lessons that they taught you and share them with others. How are you answering the call to stand firm in hope and reach out in hospitality? How are you making others feel completely comfortable in who God has created them to be? How is your listening? Are you listening not in order to respond, but in order to understand? Are you extending yourself past the point of comfort so that those around you might feel the warmth and hope of Christ? Each of us will answer these questions differently. But my prayer is that no matter how we answer them, we may be anchored in hope so that we might extend ourselves in hospitality. So thanks be to Angela and to Susan and to all the countless and unnamed women who have led the way and showed us the depth of God's love. And most importantly, thanks be to God. Amen.